It's a Friday quickie here on KFC Radio. Today we're talking about near-death experiences. Your boy Fights almost met his fate the other night. He almost met the Grim Reaper on his vacation, driving up to, Canada? You were going skiing or some shit?
I basically was in Canada. I was at Jay Peak, which is like... Jay Peak is so north that, like, depending on what part of the mountain you're on, like, your phone switches to Rogers, which is, like, the Canadian service.
Oh, wow.
So it gets expensive.
You're on another planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you're traveling to another planet, and in the mix, you almost died. You almost had your dream come true.
Dude, so we were driving up, and, you know, like, it's kind of a classic story, aside from the fact that we were on the highway, where it's just, like, you hit black ice, and you didn't know what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But we're driving up. And it had been, in fact, my buddy, like, an hour before was like, I can't even tell, like, if these roads are icy or snowy or what. And because there is, like, when it's snowy, you know how to drive on it. When it's just fucking cement, you know how to drive on it. But there is that gray area where you're like, I can't even tell what I'm driving on right now.
Like, do I have any traction? Are my wheels on the ground or not? I don't know what's happening.
So we'd done a little test earlier, just like a quick little wheel turn. And we went like a quick fishtail. And we're in a truck, too. So it was.
Like a SUV?
No, like an F-350.
Okay.
And those are fucking tough in the snow, because once the back wheels go, you're gone.
You're cooked.
And
so you got some, like, Tokyo Drift going.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, like that's noted. And then, like, an hour later, I had just undone my seatbelt, too, because I was trying to find my tin. Sometimes, for non-tobacco chewers, sometimes you just kind of lose it. Like, it goes up your ass, basically.
Uh-huh.
You can't find it. You got to bounce around the seat looking for it.
I thought you were going to go with the direction of, for people, like, out of shape, when you're trying to get stuff out of your pockets in a car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, like.
You got to, like, do that thing where you kind of stand up so you make your legs straight so you can get your hands in your pockets. It's the biggest workout I get, the most athletic thing I do these days, is get my phone out of my pants when I'm driving.
Dude, when I get my jacket off. I feel like a fucking king.
Oh my God.
I'm basically a contortionist at this point. That was amazing.
That's gymnastics. That's Cirque du Soleil. That's why I usually just take my phone, put it right underneath my nutsack.
Yeah, that's why I won't be able to have kids when I get older.
Well,
but that's...
You know what? It worked for me. I think it actually maybe, like Spider-Man, like made my sperm super sperm.
Oh,
it only took like one shot. Yeah.
That's a harrowing thought.
So maybe, you know, maybe you got super sperm too.
But so we start skidding out. And my buddy does a hell of a job correcting it, where he turns into it, which is an absurd thing to do.
If you have the presence of mind to turn into it, more power to you.
He turns into it.
You're a hero, because...
And then he turns into the next one. He turns into two in a row. And I was like, well, this is impressive. And then the third one, he was just like, fuck.
Don't got it.
And we were facing oncoming traffic, skidding like across three lanes of highway.
Oh, boy.
Going towards... A big medium with like a lot of snow in it, and we were like, he's like, we're gonna flip. And I was like, I don't have my seatbelt on. And I was like, well, this is gonna suck. And it was just like classic monotone, like,
you said that out loud.
This is gonna suck.
Man, the next 9 months in the hospital with broken bones and screws and then a coma, that's gonna blow.
I wasn't casually sitting there. I was grabbing the door, handle of the door, and I had my hand on the roof because I knew I wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
And there's no shot at that point you can grab one and throw it on real quickly. Yeah,
I was just like, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
And we perfectly skidded in, and the snow just accepted us instead of flipping. And so we get in there.
So like the snow broke your fall.
And we were it was like actually very calm. We were just like, oh, that was.
How fast did you were going? Like,
I don't know, 65?
Highway speed? So yeah.
Yeah. But then we get in there, and it actually ended up being awesome because, first of all, we gave each other, like, the fucking most powerful handshake. You know that gif of – I forget who the guys are. I think it's Stallone and someone else, like a black guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they kind of come
it's,
up and
I think it's like
in.
Predator. I think it's like Schwarzenegger and Apollo Creed or whatever.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
And it was like – we're just like, fucking right, dude. Like, we just got jacked
Still
up.
Still alive.
We just got jacked up immediately. And then a cop comes very quickly. He pulls over, just like parks his car in front of us, gets out, says, he goes, hey, you know, checks the license and registration. We'd hid the weed already. And
the drugs were gone.
Yeah. And he's like, don't worry, guys. I'll wear it. Anyone else slides off, I'll wear it before you do. Which is like, such a heroic line
for real.
Like a Vermont state trooper.
For real.
Like, just,
so he just parked in front of you like he's the first line of defense?
Yeah.
Good for him.
And which must be terrifying. Like, he's just sitting in the car being I'm exactly where Black Ice is.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting in my car waiting
Why can't he just like not be in the car?
Yeah, like come sit in the car with us, man.
Right.
Leave that wall there and just come sit with us. It's safer
fucking
here.
Fucking hardo hero.
And But then he, which then I think they have a little scam going because he's like, we're on the phone with AAA. He's like, nah, hang up that.
It's got a local guy.
He's like, yeah, I got a local guy. They'll take 3 hours.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, whatever, fuck it. And local guy was there in 15 minutes. Only local guy was a local gal. She pulls up alongside it and just yells out the window, you parked facing the wrong way, which is just a great line to begin with, too. And as she gets out, we're like, yeah, a little stuck. And she throws us the chain. Like, she doesn't want to walk in snow, I guess.
Uh-huh.
She throws us the chain down. She goes, hook that to the front, put that cocksucker in neutral, and follow me out of here. We're like, yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
It was the most, like, emasculating thing
I was going to say, listen, sometimes you see chicks in professions that they just, like, don't belong. Like, you see, like, a female Uber driver, you're like, what's going on here?
Oh, have you ever gotten food delivered by a woman?
Yeah, that's another one.
Like, well, I could just capture you right now.
You're going to walk right into my apartment, and I'm just going to close the door behind you, and you're mine.
And you're never going to get out of here.
Except the point being that if you're the type of woman who's a delivery person, she'll probably kick your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like people have been through some shit for their lives to go off the rails so much that you are a female tow truck driver.
Listen, this wasn't some dainty little gal. She was a
That's
big,
what I mean.
She was
like,
a big woman. She's been around the block.
She's a real handsome gal.
Yeah, she was humongous. Real sweetheart, but humongous.
Shout out to you for even giving off the vibe that you even know how to hook a fucking car up to a chain and all that shit.
Well, luckily my buddy does.
Okay, because I would have been like, where? Like, I'll tie it around the fucking thing.
Yeah, I would have no idea. I would have hooked up somewhere. She'd have driven away, ripped the front bar right off. Hey, like, that would have been it.
Hook it to the door handle or something.
It also was, like, very, like, kind of rude to be like, put that cocksucker. It's not a Corolla. This is an F-350.
This is the cock.
There are tools in the bed of this truck, lady.
This thing gets its cock sucked. It's not the cocksucker. It's the cocksucky, okay? F-350, babe. But the embrace that you guys had, it goes back to what we talked about over the summer, the best beers. And the original thing that kicked it off was there's no better beer than the I Should Have Just Died beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You had that one in the Caribbean, another near-death experience where you and a couple friends were just with some locals in the Bahamas where you could have easily been snuffed out and the bodies could have been ditched and no one would have ever known.
No one would have known. I didn't. You know what? Like, we kind of talked about we were going to do this episode before we did it just so we could think about some of our near-death experiences.
Which is wild that there's, like, we have to think about it. And like, plan them out.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That's
See, they were so nice, I didn't even think about it. That wasn't near death. Well, sure, they could have killed me. I mean, I could get killed on any street. Those guys were just a couple gentlemen.
I think it's also a testament to how much you're waiting for death. That you just, you can black out and forget times where you really almost nearly died.
It was super harrowing, too, because, like, afterwards, I was immediately totally fine. Like, I was calling, we were going to meet up with his sister, and she called to make sure we were okay, because I just texted the group chat. I texted the group chat, I was like, hey, we're not supposed to be facing this way on the highway. And everyone was like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, I got a text from Fights that was like, I'm not going to be able to pull it up in time, but he was just like, yo, like, flipped over the car, went down, like, the wrong way, facing traffic, almost hit oncoming traffic, and all I said was, well, this is going to suck. It was like one big run-on sentence, and I was like, wait, what? Are you okay? What is going on here, dude? You're not doing a good job of explaining this near-death situation.
And then, like, his sister called me to be like, wait, what happened? What's going on? And I was laughing. I was like, no, we're totally fine. We're totally fine. And he was like, no.
We're
no,
not.
No, I'm not.
We're absolutely not. Yeah, man, that shit can stick with you. When you have a near-death experience, like, in the first reaction is not like the real reaction. So I was at Fordham, and I got mugged. And I've told this story many times before, but for the new people who are joining in with the quickies, it was my freshman year. It was the beginning of the second semester, so it was the winter. Me, my buddy Mad Dog, his nickname was Mad Dog, and this chick from Dedham, Mass, was with me. And
it's a wrecking crew.
Yeah, Springfield, Mass for Mad Dog.
Oh, my God.
Dedham. She might have been tougher than him. Like, accents like crazy. And we went out on, like, a nasty cold night, just the three of us. We were, like, the only three people in the bar. We split, like, a million pitchers. It wasn't bad, though. We weren't, like, wasted or anything. But and then we're walking back. And I'm in the Bronx at Fordham. And I am, like, I can see the security guard. Every entrance at Fordham had a big gate and a security guard to keep the locals out. And I could peer around the corner of this building and see him. I probably could, like, hit him if I threw a rock. And this dude comes up behind us, grabs the girl by the arm, and, like, spins her around. And he's holding her, and he's got a gun in his hand.
Oh, shit.
And he's like, he says something like, it's almost Christmas time, baby dollar. So I guess it was the end of the first semester because it was right before Christmas. He goes, it's almost Christmas time, baby dollar. Like, what do you got for me? And this chick goes, get the fuck off me, you fucking.
Oh.
And I said, so I jump in. I was like, no. Yeah, you didn't mean that. So I like draw the attention to my goddamn self, and the dude grabs me and pushes me up against like a street sign and puts the gun like into my neck, like pushing up into the bottom of like under my chin. And he says something like, fuck you, faggot. What do you got? And she's still like trying to go on, you know. I'm like, Danielle,
shut the fuck up. Like, what are you? I have a gun in my molars right now. Shut the fuck up.
And the best part of all is we're three freshmen in college. So I actually, I'm like, pretty cool. He was a young dude, and it was like kind of one of those. It reminded me of the GoldenEye PP7. Remember that gun?
Yeah.
It's like a small gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a fucking like gat in my neck. It was a gun, though.
Oh, it would have just taken out a tooth? Yeah. Like, nah, yeah, you were dead,
I
dude.
Mean, it would have blown my head off for sure, but it was a little gun, just to paint the picture. But I was, like, calm, and I was like, all right, dude, like, take whatever you want. And I think we had, like, $7 cash on us. We're 18-year-old kids. It was like, all right, here you go. He probably made off with, like, under $100. And run just, like, let's go, me. Runs away, and we proceed to walk back to campus. And I'm like, it's like Billy Madison and his caddy. I'm like, where were you on that one, dipshit? My man, this guy Mad Dog, I mean.
If you're calling Mad, actually, I don't know, because like, we're giving the girl a hard time for fucking like intervening. Mad Dog might be a guy to keep on the leash in this situation.
Well, there's two ways to think of it. Is if someone's got a gun to your head, just give them what they want. Not a big deal. But at this point, I had seen Mad Dog beat up like two kids in 2 months at Fordham. And the rest of our college career, I watched him beat up like dozens of people. He was never the one to start it. He's like a really nice guy, but his other nickname was Stone Hands because like he will knock you the fuck out. So after like every time he would beat up someone like twice his size or like the toughest guy in the room, I was like, "Hey, buddy, when the chips were down, you almost let me get my fucking head blown off." But we walked back to campus, and I was kind of like, and I said back to campus, I mean literally around the corner, and I'm looking at the security guard like, "And where were you on that one, dipshit?" So I was like cool and calm, and we were kind of joking afterwards. And then, like, in the subsequent days, I think I kind of, like, lost my mind a little bit and was like, I almost got my head blown off. I think I had a little, like, PTSD for a little
while
after
that. See, I haven't gotten that. And, yeah. I've had a knife to my neck. I've had...
Right now.
I was in Spain.
Super Rich PC just shrugged. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? What's going on here?
Dude, the Spain... This one's a very hazy story because while you were okay, I was wasted. I was 17 in Salamanca. And my buddy, actually,
you know, 17 in Salamanca is a great album name or a song name, right?
It was me, and actually, funny enough, it was me and the buddy who I was in the car with this time.
Oh, so, that could be some like Final Destination shit that you guys bring death about.
we were walking home from the bars. I think it was La Chupeteria, and we were taking a piss behind a dumpster. And I guess these Spaniards thought that we were like disrespecting Spain as Americans just pissing,
right?
So they came up. And we were behind a dumpster, like I said. And they came up and they grabbed, like, someone had thrown away, like, a folding chair or a chair of sorts. And they started slamming it on the dumpster. And we were just kept pissing, like, dude,
like dick
what
out, yeah.
are you doing? Knock it off. And they started yelling at us in Spanish. Like, I at the time, I probably kind of understood it, but I was drunk.
Right.
And I was kind of like,
what's happening?
I don't know. Chupa mi pato.
Yeah.
And they just fucking pinned me against the wall with my dick out.
No.
I was done pissing. Like,
that's the most vulnerable you'll ever be.
I had dick out,
knife in the neck.
Dick
like, you're done.
Head against the wall, knife to my neck. And this is where it gets really hazy. I don't know what happened from point A to point B, but we ended up just hanging out with them and eating donuts.
No.
Yeah. I don't know who explained what away. I just know, I remember that later that night, we were sitting on the curb with the guys who had knives to our throat.
Hey, Hector. Hey, Enrique.
Sharing a box of donuts. I really don't remember what happened in between there.
Yo.
But something serious.
Dude.
It was something not serious. I guess, well, something serious to stop something more serious from happening.
It's wild that those details you just told me, because my other near-death experience involves Spanish-speaking people and folding chairs. I was in Acapulco, Mexico. Acapulco, I think. Yes. Senior Frogs. We were on a balcony, like at the bar. Me and my buddy from Ohio, Kyle, and he just grabs a folding chair and throws it over the edge. We were like, it was like a balcony that just kind of like overlooked like the water and kind of just like a forest almost, like jungle. Throws a chair off. And I was like, what are you doing? But then I like look over the edge and the chair just disappears into the trees. Like no bang, no nothing. The chair just disappeared. So I quickly went from like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, what happened to that chair? Like, where did that go? I grab one. Throw it over the edge. Same thing. Just disappears. We're like, where do you think these chairs are going? He throws a third chair. We're just two fucking white, dumb American boys throwing chairs off of fucking balconies at a Senior Frogs in Mexico. And the owners and the fucking, like, waiters and shit come over, like, screaming in Spanish, like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And, like, it quickly hits us, like, we are absolutely fucked here. Like, we are dead. And they're, like, yapping at each other. Like, kind of coming up with, like, their plan and, like, the punishment and shit. And I was like, we're really screwed here. I didn't know anything they're saying. My one buddy's kind of piecing it together. He realized they wanted money. We're, like, scrounging our cash together. It's not enough. He made us go to an ATM. I think we just paid him, like, hundreds and hundreds of dollars so that he wouldn't fucking kill us.
You Ryan Lochte'd it. Ryan Lochte'd it.
I was straight up Ryan Lochte in Acapulco, basically. and by the grace of God, I walked out of there alive. I have no idea how. It was money. Thank God for money. Thank God I'm a somewhat wealthy American, or I would have been absolutely fucking dead in Mexico. If you got any near-death experiences, get at us at KFC Radio on Twitter. Let us know about them. See you guys on Monday.